Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 9, we were talking about the terms in verse 17 referring to the covenant as both a covenant and a testament or will, which is of no effect until the testator is dead. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, you'll notice the words, no strength, in verse 17, because it means it produces no results. Let's read that again. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, the word testament is from a Greek word that is almost always translated covenant. The translators, due to the context of the two sentences in verses 16 and 17, translated testament, and rightly so. A covenant is an agreement between two parties and is in force while they live. A testament is a written declaration, that is a will, which directs an appointed executor in what is to be done after the testator is dead. So how could this be both a covenant and a testament? How could it? Well, only Christ could accomplish this feat. The executor had to be one alive when the covenant is made, and also be around after the testator is dead. He died, but hallelujah, he lives. Death could not hold him. That is why there is only one way of salvation. Only Jesus Christ our Lord is our surety. He can vouch for the validity of the new covenant. He died that it might be in force. He lives as the divine surety of the testament. So he sits at the Father's right hand as our mediator and our great high priest within the most holy place of heaven, while the blood of his sacrifice lies on the mercy seat as our surety. Oh, my friend, what blasphemy it is to proclaim that there are many roads to heaven. To make that proclamation calls God an out-and-out, low-down liar, and he is not. There are not many roads to heaven. Jesus Christ said it rightly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 also says, there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You say, well, that is narrow thinking. Didn't Jesus say, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction? That narrow was the way that leadeth unto life everlasting. You better decide whether you want to follow the traditions and the philosophies of men or the truth of God's word. As for me, I'm going with God. Now, that takes us then to verses 18 through 22 and the importance of the blood. Now, let's read verses 18 through 20 here of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, we're reminded that the first testament was not put into force without blood. Since a testament requires the death of a testator to make it effective, we're told it was necessary to inaugurate the first testament with blood. That is, death. So, an animal was slain. The testator of the first testament was God. Because God is the source of salvation for believers in the Old Testament, as well as the New. Jonah 2:9, Old Testament. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord. But God was not ready to come yet in the person of His Son and die on the cross for man. Therefore, He provided a substitute which would represent Him in death, which death would make the First Testament effective at that moment. Now, those that were there, for the most part, did not realize the magnitude of this experience on the generations that would come. That they just didn't have any idea. What that first establishment of the covenant and the shedding of blood, they didn't realize just the magnitude of it. The substitute was an animal. Some mentioned that water, scarlet, wool, hyssop are not mentioned in Exodus 24 when Moses does this. However, we see it is used that way in other parts of the law, as well as the old oral tradition of the Jews. There is no mention of the book being covered by the blood. But if God gave the word in covenant, then He bound Himself to it, as well as by blood. Hence, we see mention of the law is made. And remember, that law was placed in the ark under the mercy seat where the blood is applied. The blood is enjoined to the Jews that they may understand that it's not the sacrifices of animals, but the blood of Christ. Same as we Gentiles are also saved. Let me say this, my friend, and I say this very, very assuredly, without apology. Don't read a Bible translation or sing music that takes out the blood. In 1 John 1:7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, Colossians 1:14 is of particular interest to me. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, there are Bible versions out there today that in Colossians 1:14 take out "through His blood." And I mention that because the people who do those translations say, nothing was taken out that has any doctrinal significance. Well, my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ does have doctrinal significance. And some say, well, you can read about it in other parts of the Bible. But my friend, God put it there, and it is in the Textus Receptus, which is the right and best manuscript, then it should be in there. There's no reason to take it out. No reason whatever. And you got a Bible like that, that in that translation in Colossians 1:14 that's removed through His blood, don't give it away, burn it. Don't corrupt anybody else with it. Now that takes us to verses 21 and 22. And it says, "Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." Now, I want to quote what the theologian John Phillips said in relation to these verses, verses 18 through 22. He said, "Many look with revulsion on the shedding of blood that formed an essential part of the Old Testament religion. And they consider with equal horror the New Testament teaching concerning Christ's blood. They shudder with abhorrence at many of the gospel hymns that emphasize the efficacy of the blood of Christ. Those who thus scorn the shed blood have their eyes blinded to both God's blazing holiness and to the dreadful, radical, and terrible reality that calls for a radical and terrible cure. And let me just add, God is holy. Sin offends His holiness. And when they take the blood out of old hymns, when they take the blood out of the Bible, they are offending the very holiness of God. Now, don't lose sight of the fact that that statement in verse 22 is absolute. Without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness. This speaks of the holiness of God. Nothing that defiles can come before His presence. Without the blood, we are helpless and hopeless. Jesus offered the one sacrifice that satisfied God forever. And because of that sacrifice, the Levitical system has been set aside. Even the vessels were sanctified with blood because their use by man polluted them. They needed purging as well. Nothing but the blood of Jesus and the Spirit's application of the blood to our hearts gives us gracious entrance to God and acceptance with Him. Now, the word remission in this passage means to be released from forgiveness. We're reminded of the words of Christ in Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, my friend, the blood is the only way of salvation. That is, through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament looked forward to it. We look back to the cross. Death was necessary with the shedding of blood. In other words, it couldn't just be that He died. It was very important that His blood was shed because life is in the blood. It wasn't just the death of Christ. It was the shedding of His blood in death that was necessary. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.